Welcome to Sounding Off with Kim Munson, our new podcast. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can send me a an email at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter at the website. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. We would greatly appreciate that. And I am thrilled to have as my guest on this podcast, Bob Roth. He is running for Senate District 26 right here in Colorado. Bob Roth, you and I go way back, don't we?
We do indeed, and thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. You served on Aurora City Council.
I did.
And let's see, were you the mayor pro tem as well there?
I was mayor pro tem in 2013 and again in 2019.
Okay. You know, local government is so important, and citizens stepping forward to do their civic duty is really important. So now you have thrown your hat in the ring for Senate District 26. Why are you doing that, Bob Roth?
Well, other than bumping my head, I guess. you know, I think that the people in Colorado are best represented when there's a split legislature. And as you know, right now we've got both chambers plus the governor's mansion in single party control. And that's not a good thing. It doesn't represent all of the people very well. And in the shortened session that they just completed a couple of months ago, I think it was a stark reality to see exactly how much it doesn't represent the people, because there were an awful lot of very bad legislation that was pushed through. We have an opportunity to gain Republican control in the Senate. The House is a little more difficult. It's quite a wide gap right now. But in the Senate, if we can hold onto the seats we have and gain two more, we can take control of the Senate. And then we have a much better balanced government representing all of the people. So that's the reason I jumped in the race, is SD26 is considered a very competitive district. It is winnable. It's an uphill battle, no doubt about it. But I'm working hard. I'm trying to get more volunteers on the ground helping me, and it's a winnable race. So that's, in a nutshell, that's why I'm running.
Well, and I really think it's important for people to adopt a candidate to help. Many times, Bob, when we were on city council, people would say, oh, I'm not into politics.
Right.
But we now realize that politics is into you, and people are paying attention when politicians and bureaucrats use their power to force businesses to close, or they use rules, regulations, and overtaxation. That also is more of a subtle way that causes businesses to close, or at least makes it more difficult for them to be successful. We realize that politics is into us, and so it is important that we send people down to the State House, as you mentioned, with a balanced approach, a reasonable approach, Bob Roth.
Right, I agree. Yeah, it's my volunteer activity is getting more traction, better traction all the time. We are walking and knocking on Tuesday evening and Saturday morning. Okay. And we're smiling and dialing on Thursday evening. And, you know, it started out with just two or three volunteers. I'm getting to the point where I'm very close to double the digits on all three of those events. So I'll be doing those between now and the election. Every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, we will have an event in support of Bob Roth for SD26.
So how can people help you? Or reach out to you? How can
sure.
they reach you?
I am happy to give out my cell phone number, okay. which is 720-202-2695. Now, people tell me all the time that I'm crazy for giving out my cell phone number, but I do that willingly. My website is roth4sd26.com. So it's www.rothforsd26.com. D as in David, 26.com. People can go on there. All of my events are listed there as well. We have a real estate broker right in the heart of Greenwood Village in SD26 that has very generously donated space in their office for us to use for these events. And we're just, I think we're really gaining momentum.
Well, this is a very important election, and sometimes people only focus on the federal races, the president, the Senate, the senators, and the House of Representatives. But these local races and these state races are really important, and we've seen that, you know, with all that's happened within the last, well, a couple of years for sure, down at the State House, that these races are very important. And You know, Bob Roth, I know you have a real appreciation for everyday, hardworking mom and pop businesses, those small to mid-sized businesses. And when what I've seen down happen down at the State House is there's been, it seems like it's just been constant to, you know, more taxes or more different things that people have to pay to try to be in business. And they're really getting squeezed.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. A couple of things. First of all, my background is construction industry, specifically electrical construction for 35 years. And I always tell people I started with a shovel in my hand. And that's true. I started on a labor crew for an electrical contractor, and it was $9 an hour in 1984. And I was happy to have the job. And I was with that crew for just about 6 months. I was accepted into the apprenticeship program, ended up in the office learning estimating, project management, business development, and about the last 15 years of my career has been working for various contractors as a director of business development. In February of 2018, I opened my own consulting firm, supplementing contractors' business development efforts with, you know, my network and my knowledge of business development. So in that respect, I'm also a small business owner. So I certainly understand how to have to make payroll and how to have to decide what kind of marketing tools you're going to use and all the things to run a business. And you're absolutely right. What has happened at the State House to prevent businesses from having success is just abominable. And I'll give you, I will never run a negative ad or a negative campaign, but I'm certainly not afraid to point out differences between me and my opponent.
Well, and there's the negative campaign component, and then there is just bringing forward the truth, the
exactly.
policy issues.
Exactly.
And we do need to know about that. So what is that, Bob Roth?
Well, I can tell you that one of the things that my opponent was not, he wasn't the sponsor, but he was front and center on, is basically a workers' comp bill. And what it says is that if you are an essential employee and you contract coronavirus, it will be presumed that you contracted it at the workplace, and you are eligible to apply for and collect workers' compensation. Now, in addition to that, it's incumbent on the employer to prove that that's not the case. So at the very least, the employer is going to have legal costs to
try to... attorneys like that.
Of course they do. They're usually the only ones that win, right?
Yeah, yeah.
and on the worst side, or the worst case scenario, they're going to have to pay out millions of dollars of workers' comp claims for employees that may or may not have contracted it at the workplace. That bill alone is going to cost Colorado businesses millions. And, you know, it doesn't take very long for a business owner to say, you know, I'm not so sure I want to continue to have my business in Colorado. So right when we are trying to recover from a pandemic where businesses have slowed down, businesses have had to close their doors, now we're going to whack them over the head with a new bill that is potentially going to cost millions.
Well, and so it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that people will start to leave. And if you are having higher and higher taxes and you're having a shrinking population, that means taxes are going to have to go up on everybody. And so being business friendly, and what that means to me, Bob Roth, is that government gets out of the way, right, and they don't pick winners and losers.
Right. I agree 100%. What I always say is the role of government in business is to provide an environment where the business can succeed. You mentioned it earlier, cut the red tape, cut the regulations, and then get out of the way and let the capitalist society, our capitalist environment,
compete
and yeah, exactly. It isn't rocket science, and I don't know why some try to make it rocket science.
Mm-hmm. What is another difference between you and your opponent?
One, and you know, I haven't heard him say this specifically, but I think his actions speak volumes. He has been at least two that I'm aware of anti-police rallies in Aurora at the district one headquarters, when they encircled the building and were not letting officers in or out. He was proudly on social media saying that he was there in support of the people that were down there protesting. Now, of course, they call them protests. They're not protests. They're riots.
Mm-hmm. And there's a difference. You and I both agree that you have a constitutional right to peacefully protest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But he was down there and basically his on his Twitter handle, it said that he was down there giving them burritos because protesters got to eat. Well, just the fact that he was there at an anti-police rally tells me volumes about his stance on that. He lives in Greenwood Village, and he also is pushing back very hard against the mayor and council's decision to protect their police officers.
Really?
So he was part of the group that was, taking away police immunity and in civil suits. And since he lives there, he feels he has the right as a sitting senator to push back on mayor and council. Now, I believe, and I think you believe, that decisions should be pushed to the most local level mm-hmm. possible. The city council people are the ones that are closest to the citizens, best understand what neighbors and neighborhoods want, and that's the type of decisions that they should be making. For him to push back against that and basically tell them that what they're doing is wrong, is wrong.
That is wrong. And so let's unpack this just a little bit more so that people understand this, because we had found that headline regarding, I think this was the precinct number one mm-hmm. In Aurora.
Right.
And what had happened, you described it correctly, that actually these rioters chained the doors.
Yes, they did.
So meaning that people could not get out
right.
or people could get in. Up in, I think it was either Portland or Seattle, did the same thing. I was like, do they have a 4 a.m.? Well, they wouldn't be up that early. I was going to say a 4 a.m. call to say this is what we're going to do today. But they actually chained a precinct there and the doors there as well and then tried to set it on fire. But what happened here in Aurora is those doors were chained for
8 hours.
8 hours, okay.
There were officers trapped in that building for 8 hours.
And after this, everything dissipated, they actually found gas cans mm-hmm. With fuel in them
yep.
near that area. So it had been staged. It had been planned. Mm-hmm. Let's just think about that. This is these police officers put their lives on the line. They chained the doors.
Right.
I mean, whether or not you like or dislike, that whole thing is pretty cruel.
Yeah, it absolutely is. You know, anybody, you or I, can get in an accident and perish. A lot of things could happen in our daily life. But I can't imagine being in a profession where you put a badge on your chest and a gun on your hip and go to work, and you don't know if you're going to come back to see your family that night.
Right.
The officers that are there for law enforcement to serve and protect our communities, I have the utmost respect for them, and I just can't imagine. Now, are there things that need to be looked at? Are there things that, minor tweaks and changes? Absolutely. There's some things that I would like to see, like 100% body-worn cameras. Now, I'll tell you, the officers that I've talked to, they would be in support of that, because the vast majority of the time, body-worn camera shows that they did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a narrative out there that they did something wrong, and then they see the footage and they
I've heard
the right
that. Goes away.
Yeah. I mean, there's some things that I think that we could do that are minor tweaks, but a sweeping change of the way that we police, I don't think is appropriate. Certainly defunding the police is not appropriate. There are bad apples in every group of people. I don't care if it's ministers or police officers or business people.
They're human beings.
Or even politicians. but that doesn't mean that we throw away the whole batch. You cull out the bad apples.
Well, and the safety of our communities it's paramount for people to be able to go after their hopes and dreams, their pursuit of happiness, their life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. And that is a bedrock. That is something that government is really supposed to do, is to make sure that we have safe communities so that people can thrive and prosper. So the idea that your opponent is actually calling for defunding the police and was at that rally proudly tweeting about that, that riot. Let me get the word. People say get the words right on this. That was a riot, and that he was proudly there should say a lot to voters about that. Now I realize that probably the radical activists may like that behavior, But Bob Roth, I've got to think that Blue Dog Democrats, Libertarians, unaffiliated, Republicans, conservatives, I think that big wide swath probably likes to have safe communities.
Absolutely. Agree 100%. And I'll point out one other or a couple of other people that were there. There were a couple of current sitting council members from the city of Aurora that were there that night as well. One of them is the person who beat me in 2019.
Okay.
For her to be there again in support of anti-cop is just atrocious. It's terrible. She, just like any other citizen, certainly has the right to free speech. She has the right to say what she wants to say. But to be there at something, at an event like that, and that's not the first time she's attended one of those events. She was at the one at the AMC as well that got ugly with broken windows and everything else.
It's terrible.
I say all the time, elections have consequences. She is also looking at, and we're not talking about Aurora City Council, I guess I should get off of that, but she's looking at raising the minimum wage in Aurora to $20 an hour. You and I both know how devastating that would be to small business.
Yeah, that's like the Youth Unemployment Act.
Yes. So I saw a thread on Facebook where the people were throwing up their hands and saying how horrible it was that she was putting this proposal forward. And I got on the thread and I said, you know, some people are not going to like me saying this, but if you didn't know that that was her plan, shame on you, because that was one of the pillars of her campaign last year. So you have to be an educated voter. You have to know what my opponent in 2019 said and is now doing. And you have to know what my opponent in Senate District 26 is saying and doing. Be educated and make the right decision.
Well, and that is so important. You know, I know so many young people that say, we have the right to vote. We need to vote. But then they don't know the candidates.
Right.
They don't know the issues. And so you have a responsibility to be an informed voter.
Absolutely.
And so that's a really important point that we want to make on that. What are some of the other things that you'd like people to know?
Let me tell you a little bit about me personally.
Okay.
And I think that's important for people to know. So I'm a third generation Coloradan. I was born in Leadville. Not very many people can say that they were born in Leadville.
Yeah.
We left Leadville when I was pretty young and moved to California. I was raised in Southern California. I always tell people when we left, I didn't have a vote and I came back as quick as I could. I've spent the majority of my life here in Colorado. My father is from northeastern Colorado, Holyoke, grew up on a farm, and my mom is from southern Colorado, the Trinidad area, and grew up on a cattle ranch. So very, very down-to-earth people, very salt-of-the-earth people. I was raised in a home where yes, sir, and no, ma'am were common, and it was very much God, family, and country. Conservative values, went to parochial school my entire life. So all these things that make me who I am today were ingrained in me from very young and all the way through my childhood and into adulthood. I mentioned about my construction career. I have a son who is in his 18th year in his Army career. He'll be retiring here soon. And he had 4 overseas tours, 2 in Iraq, 2 in Afghanistan, currently stationed at Fort Riley, Kansas. And fortunately, he's at the point where he won't have to go overseas again. Okay. I have a daughter who lives here in Aurora, and she's given me a beautiful 7-year-old grandson who is very much the apple of Papa's eye.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we spend as much time together as we can. So that's kind of a snapshot of who I am. You mentioned that I was on Aurora City Council. As you well know, being a council member, you can do the minimum and be a good, a fine council member, or you can take it a little deeper and get involved in boards and commissions outside of the city limits of where you are. And I got very actively involved in a number of regional and statewide boards. And I think that prepares me very well for this role, because I understand how to work with a very diverse group of people. I understand how to kind of herd the cats. So You know, again, I think that prepares me very well.
So I didn't know that about you on growing up in, or your father was from northeastern Colorado,
right.
Because I'm from western Kansas.
Oh, okay.
And so one of the things that I've really been looking at through this whole pandemic thing is our food supply. And in fact, we're doing some shows regarding rural Colorado. And I think that it's very important that we have people down at the State House that not only can appreciate urban and suburban voters, but also those people that put food on our table. And it sounds like you might bring a kind of a unique perspective on that as well.
I think so. I mean, I still have a lot of family that's in cattle ranching, cousins that married ranchers and cousins that are ranchers. And so Southern Colorado and actually my uncle ended up the last part of his working days was up in Julesburg. So kind of the same area. But yeah, I certainly appreciate when we used to vacation every year when I was a kid was coming back to Colorado and visiting Trinidad and grandma and grandpa Lyke and then visiting Grandma Roth up in Holyoke. So we got to do, I always felt pretty spoiled as a city kid getting to brand calves and go out on the combine and, you know, being able to help family members with what was their daily life. Mm-hmm. But for us was, you know, an exciting adventure.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
I think that I certainly understand not the day to day. That's a tough life, but
it is. It's a lot of work,
but I do understand, you know, where our food comes from and appreciate the people that do that kind of work.
Okay. So you bring a wide range of experiences to this Senate race. Anything else you want to make sure that people know about you, Bob Roth?
You know, I think that one of the biggest things that I've always been proud of in my elected experience is that I know who I work for. I listen to people. I always ask questions. I think I'm a really good listener. I know that, I mean, there have been times when I represented Ward 5 in Aurora that people spoke very loudly on a particular issue. And even if it wasn't something that I was 100% bought into, I know who I represent. Mm-hmm. So the people in SD26 need to understand that I will be their representative at the State House. I certainly come with my own ideas and my own biases or whatever you want to call them, but I understand who I represent at the State House.
Well, and listening is super important. That's another thing that I saw. There were several different times that I've been down to the State House to testify things on different pieces of legislation. And I've been a bit surprised that there have been people, legislators, that really don't even want to listen to the people. And so that is really, really important. So the things that I really see that I think really matter. And this is, you know, this is to your everyday hardworking. It could be immigrants that have come to America to live the American dream. There's a lot of that in Aurora.
Right.
And they need safe communities.
Yep.
They need people not coming by and tearing their stuff up. And so they need to make sure that they are sending representatives, senators down there that will protect them from excessive taxation and rules and regulations, but also make sure that they have safe communities. I think that's a big difference that you offer from your opponent, Bob Roth.
Well, I appreciate that. And I believe that's true as well. And I'm glad you mentioned the diversity, because that's another thing that I think who I represented in Aurora and who I will represent in SD26, there's some similarities, because in Aurora, it's very diverse, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. There's hundreds of languages spoken in APS schools. And similarly, SD26, you go from Greenwood Village and Cherry Hills Village to Englewood and Sheridan and Bomar. And, you know, so it's very diverse. I was asked the other day about working with the school district in SD26. And I said, well, there are four different school districts in SD26. There's Cherry Creek Schools and Littleton and Englewood and Sheridan. And the needs and wants of Cherry Creek School District are very different than Sheridan School District. So it is a diverse community as well, and much larger footprint, of course. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think my listening skills and my people skills will benefit the constituents.
Okay. Well, Bob Roth, thank you so much. And I really recommend that we each adopt a candidate and help them. And so your phone number is 720-202-2695. That's 720-202-2695 or Roth for, that's spelled out, FORSD26.com. People can get more information. Bob Roth, thank you so much for joining Sounding Off with Kim Munson.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
And my friends, God bless you and God bless America. Okay.